So what do I do here?
Just make it fine.
Okay. Let's review again. We left off on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph in the middle. Let's go back to the Mishnah Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Mishnah talks about a person who shechts a behema, which is a gosesus. A gosesus is kachai. If an animal dies and then you shecht it, so it's too late, it's already in avela. But if the animal is holding by gesisa and then you shecht it quickly, so if the animal was alive the whole time while you shechted it, so then the shechita is good. The Gemara says that there's a midas chasidus not to eat from such a behema. Behema, just like a midas chasidus not to eat from the behema shehara b'chacham, when there was a shaila, and it was a judgment call, and the rav had a kvetch to be mekel, so there's a midas chasidus not to eat that. So there's a midas chasidus not to eat a behema that they had a rush to shecht it because it was holding by gesisa. So it's a midas chasidus not to eat it. But strictly speaking, the Gemara said that it's kosher. It's not a trefet, it's not an avela, it's not an eved menachai. Strictly speaking, it's really kosher. However, the Mishnah says, if you shecht a healthy animal, so the animal doesn't have to do anything to demonstrate that it was alive throughout the whole shechita. If you shechting a behema that's mesukenes, a behema that's a gosses, is holding by the end, holding by gesisa, then the animal, we require pirkus. So the animal has to start shaking a leg or shaking two legs or wagging its tail or something to demonstrate that it was alive the whole time. Because there's a latest asafik, maybe it's dead already, maybe it died in the middle. So the Mishnah has different opinions what constitutes pirkus. How serious a pirkus do you need? Pirkus means to jump around. How serious a pirkus do you need? So now the Gemara has a discussion, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, when do you need this pirkus? Left off in the middle, Omer Rav Chisda, middle of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the line begins with the words Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, he has a tradition, Pirkus Shomro B'Sof Shechita. His Rabbeim said that the animal has to shake the legs and wag the tail and do everything B'Sof Shechita. So now Rav Chisda is interpreting, what did the Rabbeim mean? My B'Sof Shechita means Be'emtza Shechita. Doesn't mean B'Sof Shechita, B'Sof Shechita. He claims that the tradition they heard from his rabbeim, not to be taken literally, it just comes lapuk etchila shechita deloy. If the animal only demonstrated the pirkus, it's shaking around and wagging its tail and so on. At the beginning of the shechita, it takes 1 minute. So what's shach tchila v'sof? Apparently, in the days of Gemara, they didn't have such sharp knives, so it took quite a while. It took a while to finish the shechita. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Is it sufficient if the pirkus was betchila shechita, or does it have to be beemtza shechita, or does it have to be literally besof shechita? So Rav Chisda had a tradition that it has to be besof shechita, but he interprets what the Rebbe meant was, it means beemtza shechita to the exclusion of tchila shechita deloy. Amar Rav Chisda menami, Allah, how does he know that beemtza shechita is enough? This non, because we have in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, there's a behema daka and a behema gasa. Behema gasa is an animal that has a 9-month pregnancy, and a behema daka is an animal that has a 5-month pregnancy. Goats and sheep have a 5-month pregnancy. That's called a behema daka. Okay. So the Mishnah says that behema daka, that was a mesukenes, that was a gosesis, and you shecht it, if pashta yoda, the yodaim are the front two legs and the raglaim are the back two legs. Like by human being, if he would walk on all fours, so the front two would be the hands. So behema daka shepashta yoda v'lo hezira, if the animal stretches out its leg but it doesn't pull it back, psula, that's considered an avela. That's not called a sin. If a behema gasa does that, stretches out a leg, that's called pirkus by behema gasa. But by behema daka, that's not a simen of pirkus, that's a simen that the animal is dead already. That's a reflex that's a reflex reaction that indicates the behemoth was dead. So the Gemara wants to know, Amos, when do we say that by behemoth daka, if it stretches out the leg, it's not to be taken as an indication that the behemoth was alive the whole time? If the behemoth daka, the sheep or the goat, is going to stretch out its leg, the front legs, b'sof ha-shchita, at the very end of the shchita that took, let's say, 20 minutes, frag the Gemara, so what's so bad about that? Kol hechet techi v'tezel, how long do you want the animal to live? It stretches out a leg at the end of the shchita, it's the same that it was alive, the whole 20 minutes, was a shtech. El alav, when the Mishnah says, behemah daka, that stretches out the leg until it didn't bend it back in, it must be behemtza shchita. And that's not acceptable, by behemah daka, that's not acceptable. But if it wags its tail or it bends back the knee, instead of stretching out the leg is a sign that it's dead already. But if it bends the leg back on the knee, bends it on the knee, then the emtza shchita would be good. The emtza shchita, stretching out the front leg, is a sign of death, a sign misa. But bending the knee in would be a sign of chiyus. So you see, the emtza shchita is good. Amalei Rabbah, so Rabbah disagrees with the Rav Chisda. He thinks that he's not right. The Olam Sof Shchita, it's not correct. The Pirkus has to be what you had a tradition from your Rebbe, the Besof Shchita. I think the Rebbe meant literally Besof Shchita. He wasn't there. Rabbah wasn't there, but he's saying when Rav Chisda is reinterpreting the tradition that Besof Shchita just means Bemtza, it's not correct. The Olam Sof Shchita, are you asking, so what's so terrible if the behemoth daka stretches out its front leg? B'sof ha-shchita, how long do you want the animal to live? No, shani yoimer, kol sheni oisikem b'sof shchita, if the animal doesn't do a good simen of a pirkus, b'sof ha-shchita b'yodush nishmosan netula hemen, akarim lachem, it's a simen that the animal was already dead before you finished the shchita. So Rabbi thinks that the tradition of Rav Chisda said should not be reinterpreted. B'sof shchita means literally b'sof shchita. So you have already two shitas. Rav Chisda thinks the tradition meant b'emtza shchita is good enough. B'tchila shchita is not good. B'emtza shchita is good enough. You don't need b'sof shchita. Rabbi thinks li'olam means b'sof shchita. Am nach ma'itzchah and pirkasham and b'tchila shchita. He says he thinks that when the Mishnah tells about wagging the tail and bending in the legs and so on, and all the other simanim that the animal is alive, is good enough if it happens at the beginning of the 20 minutes of the shchita. It doesn't have to be b'emtza shchita. How does he prove it? How can I prove that b'sila b'tchilas hashchita is good? Because the Mishnah had different opinions. What's considered pirkus? What's considered a siman tchiyus that the animal was alive the whole time? So one opinion was if zinka, Rav Lezer says in the Mishnah of zinka. What does zinka mean? Zinka means the animal screeched out while you were shechting it, and then the dam gushed out. And the dam gushed out and it splattered all over the neck. It didn't just drip out. When the animal is alive, so the circulatory system is still functioning. The animal is dead. The blood is not circulating. That's the definition of life and death. When the blood is circulating, then the balchai is alive. When the blood is not circulating, that's the pasuk, ki adam hu anefesh. When the blood is circulating, then the animal is alive. So if the blood is circulating and you shecht it, then the blood is going to gush out. So that's a simet pirkus. So the Mishnah gives a din. Rav Shimon says a din along the lines ukemidas Rav Lezer. Rav Shimon in the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin and Aleph says Hashechet misaken is balaylo lechatchidi shenever shecht the behema balaylo because you may make it in a bela. But yeah, but if you shecht the balaylo, even though it's dark there, so you check the next morning to see if you did a shechitek shev is good. What if you're shechting a misaken is balaylo? So you have to check to make sure that the animal did pirkus. So he says in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Aimer, Ashechet Balaylo, if he shechts a Mesukenes Balaylo, on the Mochet tomorrow morning, Hishkim, when the sun is shining, or he turns on the lights, whatever, Umotzuk Solom Aleim Dam, and he finds that the neck of the animal does mean the walls of the slaughterhouse, means the Koisle Beis HaShchita, means the neck of the animal is splattered with a lot of blood. So you see that the blood didn't stop drip down, the blood was gushing out when he shechted it last night. So that's a zinka. So that's kshera, shezinka, because the animal, even though it was a mesukenes, you know it was a mesukenes, and you rush to shecht it balayla, you're afraid to wait till the morning because the animal may drop dead till the morning. So he rushes balayla. If he would have torches and turn on the lights at night and it would be lit up, then it's mutar lachatrila to shecht at night. Laila kayom yar, if you turn on the lights. The slaughterhouses do shechita balayla today. They turn on the lights, there's no problem. But in the days of the time, they had no electric lights, and it wasn't so easy to have candles that can light up the whole room. So he's talking, he shechts balayla, so in the morning when the sun rises and they start looking, in the morning, umotzek solam leim dam. He sees that the neck of the animal is all longer smeared with dam. Is kshera wayshezinkot biyodua, that the dam gushed out, it didn't just drip out. And this is ukemidas Reb Lezer. This is following the shitas Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says that zinka, if it screeches out, and the blood comes gushing out, shooting out, so that's a simon pirkus. That's a simon the animal's alive. So. Who is it now? Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, when you come in the morning, you see the neck is all full of dam that was shooting out. How do you know when the dam is shooting out? B'tchilo shchita, b'emta shchita, b'sof shchita. So if you say that if the dam shoots out b'tchilo shchita, the beginning of the 20 minutes of the process, by us it takes 1 minute, because our knives are much sharper. But b'zmanik mor, let's say it takes 20 minutes to shef the animal. So if you should say that if the gushing forth of the blood is not a simon chiyus, if it happened at the beginning of the 20 minutes, it has to happen either the middle or the end. So how do you know tomorrow morning if you shechted him musakanas balala, it was dark? You wake up in the morning and see that the whole neck is all full of blood. Maybe that there was shooting blood in the beginning of the shechita. Who says that if the blood shot out in the middle or the end of the shechita? So it's a right, does make a difference. Even if the zinkum is only betchilas hashechita, it's also a good simon pirkus. It's a raya that the animal was alive. The animal is alive, why he did the whole shechita. That's from Nachma Yitzchak's raya. Amram Nachma Yitzchak, the line begins with the words, Amram Nachma Yitzchak, Mino Amino Lo, how can I prove my point that even if the pirkus was betchilas hashechita, is also acceptable, this non, because the Mishnah quotes, Amram Shimon, Hashechet Balayla, he shechts a musukenas Balayla. So Lechatchilu, she never shecht Balayla, but often Shkembrei is afraid the animal is going to drop dead. Well, the tomorrow morning, Matzuk, Solom Aleim, Dam Ksheira, why Shezinko? Obviously, it was shooting out the blood, it wasn't just dripping. Okamidas Reb Lezer, this follows the Shita Reb Lezer, that if it shoots out the dam, the Zinko, that's considered a pirkus, and you know the animal was kosher. The Amma Shmuel explains, Pshat in the Mishnah, Matzuk, Solom Aleim, Dam does mean the walls of the slaughter room, it means Kosle Besa Shchito Shanino. The Mishnah means Solom Aleim, Aleim, Dam, the neck. The neck of the animal is called Kosle Beis HaShchita. So the Gemara Kama, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Yamer Bishleima, if you should assume B'tchil HaShchita, Shapir, if Pirkus that takes place at the beginning of the 20 minutes is good, then the Mishnah makes sense. And the more, he doesn't know when the Dam was shooting, maybe it was B'tchil HaShchita. So we say B'tchil HaShchita is good, so it's, you understand the Mishnah. Ela Yamer B'sof HaShchita. But if you're going to say, the only time shooting of the dam is a simen chiyus, and the shechita is good, is either besof hashechita, b'emta hashechita. So lechesh, just because we find that the neck of the animal is all ungeschmiert with dam, lechesh, don't have tchilas shechita zinka. Maybe it's not good enough. So it's a beferish erai. That's Rav Nachman Yitzchak's erai. Beferish erai from the Mishnah that the pirkus can take place even the tchilas shechita, the beginning of the 20 minutes, and that's good enough. That's a simon that the animal was alive the whole shechita. If it's still strong enough that the blood is circulating at the beginning of the 20 minutes and it shoots out, it gushes out with force, the beginning of the shechita, that's a simon that is going to be alive for the whole 20 minutes. So, the Gemara, how can you prove that? There are different kinds of pirkus. Sometimes pirkus is wagging the tail. Sometimes the pirkus is wagging the ear. Sometimes the pirkus is that it's shaking both legs. Sometimes pirkus is shaking one leg. So maybe this pirkus of shooting out the dam, maybe that pirkus, you prove in the Mishnah that according to the Tanna Reb Lezer, according to the Tanna Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who agrees with Reb Lezer ben Hurkanus, these two Tannaim, they hold that shooting forth of the dam is good enough. So that's even good, but maybe the other kinds of pirkos of shaking the legs and wagging the tail and wagging the ears, maybe there has to be so shchita. But dilmashani zinduk to adif, maybe shooting of the dam with a force, that the dam shoots out with a force, maybe that's a more powerful form of pirkos, so that can even take place betchilas hashchita. But the other forms of shaking legs, maybe those have to be b'emtza shchita b'sof shchita. So the Gemara says, since when? What do you mean? The dam gushing out is a better form of pirkus than the shaking of the legs. Oh, me, oh, if how can you say that? But the Mishnah doesn't say like that. Blazer Eimer, Dayem Zinko. The first Tana is, we have the Giris on Lam and Zayinam and Aleph. We have the Giris on the second line in the Mishnah. We have Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. The Gemara clearly had the Giris of Rabbi Gamliel. That's what it says on the side. Alam and Zayin, the Marshal and the Marshal both have the Giris of Rabbi Gamliel, because the Gemara calls it Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah says, it's only called a Pirkus to demonstrate that the animal is alive in the beginning to the end of the Shechita, if the Farch is Yad Viregel, it shakes both the front leg and the back leg. If it only shakes one of them, the front or the back, that's not good enough. Then the last Tana in the Mishnah says, it shakes either a front leg or a back leg. You don't need it to shake the front and the back leg. So it's already a machlekes. Then the Tana Rav Lezer and Reb Shimon agrees with Rav Lezer. Tana Rav Lezer says, Ibzinko. So he says, Daya Ibzinko. You don't need such a strong pirkus like shaking the front leg and the back leg, Yad Veregel. It's enough if it's a lesser pirkus, namely that the blood is gushing forth. So what did you tell me now? Dilma shiny zinuk the odif, when the blood is gushing forth, that's the best simen of pirkus. No, mi odif, is that the best simen of hatanan? Blazer ame daim zinke genuk. It's good enough of a pirkus if the blood shoots out. So you see that the sidra blazer is makel. You don't need such a strong pirkus like shaking a yad veregel. If the blood gushes out with a force, it's also good. So what do you tell me? No, the blood gushing out with a force is a stronger form of pirkus. And that pirkus is even good betchila shchita, but the other kinds of pirkus would have to be b'emtza shchita or b'sof shchita. You see from the Mishnah Farkeret that dayim zinka, the blood gushing, shooting out with a force, is a weaker form of pirkus. Everything more, you're right. It's kalma the Rebbe Gamliel va'odif min the Rabbanan. You read the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel is the first one. Either Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so he requires a higher form of pirkus to indicate that the animal is alive. Throughout the whole shechita, he needs the animal should shake both the front leg and the back leg. If it only shakes one or the other, that's not enough. The chachamim in the end say it shakes one leg, either the front or the back. Either biyad or beregel. So clearly they are mekel. Then the Gemara says the shechita that's quoted in the middle is taka a medium shechita. Reb Lezer and Reb Shimon by Yehoi agrees with Reb Lezer ben Hurkins. That's Reb Lezer Agadol. Reb Lezer and Reb Shimon both hold that if the dam gushes forth, it's a kula over Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but it's a chumra over the chachamim. It's a stronger form of pirkus than just shaking one leg, but it's a weaker form of pirkus than the first opinion of shaking both legs. So you're right. Rabbi Lezer says in the Mishnah, Dayim zinke genuk, so genuk, you don't need such a strong pirkus, yad veregel, it's enough if the blood gushes out with a force. You're right, kalmed Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Lezer is more lenient than Rabbi Gamliel, however, odif mit Rabbanan, but he's more machmer than the Chachamim. So when the suggestion was made that you need pirkus davke besov shchita, that's on the weaker form of pirkus, when you're just shaking a yad or a regel. But if you're going to have zinuk, the blood gushing forth, that would be good even betchilas hashchita. So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok's raya is a good raya. If you shechted balayla and you didn't see what happened, then tomorrow morning you find that the blood gushed all over the neck. Even though you don't know, maybe it was only betchila shechita dasa genuk. That pirkus of the blood gushing is even good if it happened betchila shechita.
Where did the Gemara come to the argument that zinco is stronger than is more chumra than the pirkus only of?
Yeah, because the Gemara said, you're right, Reb Shimon said, if you shech the Mesukenis in the middle of the night, right, and you look in the morning and you see that the blood gushed all over the neck, how do you know that it gushed in the Besof HaShechita? Maybe it's only Betchilas HaShechita. So it's right, even Betchilas HaShechita is also good. But how can the other Mandama say that Rava insisted that Pirkus has to be Besof Shechita, or Be'emtza Shechita? How can he argue? You have a Beferish Arayim, Nachma Yitzchak has a right that the Pirkus is good even Betchilas HaShechita. So the Gemara answers, that strong form of Pirkus, of the blood gushing out, that's so powerful, a Simen Chilas, that's even sufficient if it happened Betchilas HaShechita, the beginning of the 20-minute process of the Shechita. If you're talking about a Shechita, it takes 20 minutes. By us, the whole shechita, the tchila is the soft. The whole thing is less than a minute. It's 1, 2, 3 because the knives are so sharp. So that's what the Gemara suggested. Maybe shiny, maybe what the Gemara say. Shiny zinka. Where was it again? Dilma shiny zinuk to adif. Maybe zinuk, the blood gushing forth, is a stronger form of pirkus. So that's even good if it's betchilas hashchita. But if you have a weaker pirkus, namely only a yada regal is shaking, so that's weaker. So that maybe has to be beemtzo besof. But you can't argue Rav Nachman Yitzchok that the zinuk is even good betchilas hashchita. So that's what the Gemara answers. How can what be good?
How
is it enough if it just shakes a leg in the beginning?
In the beginning, yeah, but you say at the end, the animal could be already dead.
No, so that's what we say. If it has one of these simanim in the beginning, so it's going to live another 20 minutes. It's not going to die so quickly. If it's shaking a leg or shooting out the dam in the beginning, so biyodua is going to live till the end of the shechita also. That's a question of metzias. The other question of metzias. Yeah. Shai. What does the Gemara say? Vayta. Omer Avina, Omer li Samer bar Chilkoi. That's his name. Somebody told me, and Amara told me. Akshibo avua de bar Abu Baram. The father of Ploini, Esmi Akasha. Amrilo, another version has not. The father of Abu Baram. That was the Chacham of Amrilo. Achua de bar Abu Baram. The brother of bar Abu Baram. Freg de Gemara. Umidirabanan mi odif, you're telling me that the blood gushing forth with a force is a stronger form of pirkus than what the Chachamim say if it shakes one leg. Akasha, how can you say that? But the way it reads in the Mishnah doesn't sound like that. Chachamim amrim, asha tefarchaso biyad or biregel. It sounds like they're disagreeing with Reb Lazer. Reb Lazer and Reb Shimon say, Siginuk, it's enough of a pirkus if the blood comes gushing out. That's a simen barur that the animal is alive throughout the shechita. And they say that's not sufficient. We are more machmir. So they're more machmir. So how can you tell me that the blood gushing out is a stronger form of pirkus than the farchas be'ara beregel? It doesn't say like that in the Mishnah.
But what did the Gemara do with the question that how do you know it happened at the end? It had to happen at the beginning.
Maybe it happened in the beginning. So even if it happened in the beginning,
we understand that zinka has to be other because we hold that that's good enough. If that's the only one that can happen at the beginning, so let's just say, from that alone, you know that that has to be the best thing possible.
From the fact that if you shechted an animal at night and you didn't see anything, and the next morning you find that the blood gushed all over the place, good. So you see that even if the blood just gushes in the beginning of the shechita, that's also good pirkus.
So it has but to the, be best.
So that it could be that the blood shooting out is a better form of the Gemara proof in the Mishnah that it's weaker. See, the Mishnah says, "I'm Rab Shimon, Rab Lezer, I'm a dais ginukim zinka. You don't need so much of a pirkus like the Takana said. You need both the front and the back leg shake two legs on one side or the other. Either the front and the back leg on the right side, or front and back leg on the left side. You don't need so much ginuk daya im zinka. So you see that Rab Lezer is saying that that's less of a pirkus than what the Tanakhama said. So the Gemara says, correct, it's less." But it's a stronger form of pirkus than what the Chachamim say at the end, Ashet tefarches biyada beregel. So the Gemara says, no, how can you say like that? The Chachamim didn't say daya, siginuk et shetefarches biyada beregel. They said, Ashet tefarches, we are more machmir, we require Ashet tefarches. So it doesn't sound like the Chachamim are more machmir than Rab Lezer. Rab Lezer says zinka is enough, the blood gushing is enough. Chachamim say you're wrong, we need more than that. So how can you say that zinka is stronger than shaking one leg? The Mishnah sounds like it's not correct. Mishnah says that shaking one leg.
The Gemara's question comes back to how do you know it didn't happen at the beginning?
Right, that's what they're asking. That's what they're asking. So don't, if you see that gushing forth of the blood is good in the morning, you don't know when it happened, so it may have happened in the beginning of the Shechita, it's good enough. So the others, which are weaker, if the others are weaker, so if the others are weaker, so you can say maybe only the blood gushing is good in the beginning. But if you say the others are stronger, Pirkus, so how can you? Maybe so everything will be good in the beginning. If the others are stronger forms of Pirkus and gushing forth of the dam is good even in the beginning of the Shechita. So the others are certainly good in the beginning of the Shechita. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Mid the Rabbana Miyod, if you're going to tell me the Rab Lezer and Reb Shimon's opinion about the blood gushing forth with a koyach is a stronger form of Pirkus than shaking a leg, shaking one leg, it's not true. What are they going on? Rabban and Ahe Kaimu, which one are they going on? Ilema Ad Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says you got to have it should shake both a front leg and a back leg. The Chama Mekel. They're not more Machman than Rabbi Gamliel. They say it's enough if it shakes one leg or the other. So why did they say, that's not enough. What you said is not enough, you need more. No, they're saying less than Tanakama. So they can't be commenting on the Tanakama. Ahe. Rabbanan Ahe, the Gemara wants to know. Who are they commenting on? Ahe Kaim, who are they going on? Elaim, Rabbi Ragman, if they're disagreeing with the first version in the Mishnah, Kevin should Pirkus on the boiler. They should say, we don't need so much Pirkus like you said. Rabbi Gamliel said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whoever it was, the first time they said you need to shake a front and a back leg, and they say it's enough with one. Elab Shita, the Rabbi Lezer. Must be that they're disagreeing with Rabbi Lezer. And then they said, Achet Tefarche, it's not enough what you said. You said the blood gushes forth. That's sufficient. Pirkus. We require more than that. So the Gemara said, so obviously they're requiring more than that. So if you say that the blood gushing forth is good even with Tchilas HaShechita, so this is certainly good with Tchilas HaShechita, because this is a stronger form of Pirkus. That's exactly what the Gemara is pointing out. If the blood gushing forth is good with Tchilas HaShechita, and shaking a front leg or a back leg is stronger than that, so then it should also be good b'tchilas hashchita. So what are the other amoraim hacking? B'em tashchita, b'sof hashchita. Should be a kal v'chomer from the blood gushing forth. So the Gemara has this tain, ela pshita ad Rab Lezer, v'yodif, and if you're going to say that the blood gushing forth is a stronger form of pirkus, my ad, so what did the chachamim say? Ad shet tefarchis. So it sounds like the blood gushing forth is the weakest form of Pirkus, and still the Tchilas HaShechita is good. So it should be a Kal V'chomer that the others will certainly be good with Tchilas HaShechita. So it should be that should be the din. It ought to be that should be the din. So the Gemara starts again, no. Omar Rav says, Pirkus Shomer B'Sof Shechita, has to be B'Sof Shechita. What do you do with the Kasha? I don't know. The Gemara just proved that the blood gushing forth is the weakest form of Pirkus. And the weakest form, it says, Balayla, you can look in the morning, you don't know when it happened at Balayla, B'tchilas HaShechita B'Sof, and says it's good. So you see, B'tchilas HaShechita B'Sof, should be Kal V'chomer that the other should certainly be good. So Rava says, no, we don't paskin like this. What does he do with the Loshon HaMishnah? Basically, so Rava paskin, Pir Kishomer B'Sof Shechita. Amar Rava, Mino Aminola, how do I know to prove that this is true? Mino Aminola, yeah. So there, the Tanya gives a tushta. This is a very strange proof. So they quote, the Rabbi quotes a brisa that says when an animal, when a behemoth is born, you have to wait till the eighth day to shecht it. You're not allowed to shecht it for karbonis within the first 8 days. See, a behemoth chulin also. A behemoth chulin, you're not allowed to shecht an animal within the first 8 days. It's a suffik neifa. Unless you know bevada shekola chadoshav, unless you know when the animal became pregnant, you know that it was vada kola chadoshav. It was a full term pregnancy. But if you don't know one way or the other whether it's a full term pregnancy or not, so you have to wait till the animal is 8 days old and then you can shecht it. Then we assume if the animal survived till the 8th day, biyodu shekola chadoshav. It's a right that it's a bar kayom and it's not a nefil. The same thing by Adam, by a human being. If a baby is born, see, if you know that it was a full-term pregnancy, so it's a Vlad Bar Kayama. So even if it dies the same day, the relatives have to observe avelos, or let's say someone murders a baby. Baby is born, someone kills the baby the same day it's born. So the Mishnah Nida says, Tinek ben Yomo, the baby is 1 day old, he was born today. Ahorga neregolov, if someone kills him, ischai misa. But that's only biyadua shekol alechadosh, if you know for sure that it was full-term pregnancy. If you don't know, most of the time you don't know whether it's full-term pregnancy. So if you don't know, so then, kol shloshim yom, it's a suffix nefer. Where'd they get this idea from? The kol shloshim yom, it's a suffix nefer. They got it from the mitzvah of pidyon haben. Why did the halacha, why does the chumash say that you have to wait to do pidyon haben until yom lamed aleph, till the 31st day? Why can't you do pidyon haben right away? So the din by pidyon haben is that you can't do pidyon haben even if it's a vada, even if it's a post-mature baby. You know that it was a 10-month pregnancy. You know it's post-mature. Bevada, not premature. The halacha still says you have to wait till yom lamed aleph to do the pidyon haben. If you do in the middle, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. You can't, if you give the money in the middle, you can't say a bracha. But the Gemara understood that the reason why the Torah established pidyon haben on the 31st day is because if you don't know whether kol chadoshim or not, and you wait 30 days, then it'll be a haychacha that it was kol chadoshim. So the Gemara assumes the same is true regarding shechitas behemoth. Why did the Torah say a din? Shivas yamim miyatachasim miyam shmina b'holi yirata lekarben isha l'Hashem, that you're not allowed to be magdish and mechus hazman, you're not allowed to be magdish a behemoth within the 8 days. And you're not allowed to be, and if someone went ahead and was magdishit, and the hegdish is chal, he did an avera by being magdishit. He was not supposed to be magdishit. The Gemara says in Tamur you get malchus. If you're magdish the baby, you get malchus. And if you were magdishit, you're not allowed to be makrovit. You're not allowed to shecht it. What kind of halacha is that? That din applies even if it's vada yadua shekala chadosha, even if the cow had a full term pregnancy on this Uber. But the reason why the Torah set up halacha b'yom hashmini v'halah is because usually, if you don't know whether it's kol hachadosh, if you wait till the 8 days, so then it's biyadua, then it's a bar kayom. So the Gemara is quoting that pasuk that goes on bringing korbanos. Shora kesev eis ki yivolid v'ayoshivas yamim tachasimo miyam hashmini v'hola yirotze v'korban isha l'ashem. Shora kesev eis ki yivolid. So the Gemara learns that from every phrase, every word in the pasuk, another din. So it says shor o kesev. So the word o, it's a very strange thing. Sometimes O is a ribuy and sometimes O is a miut. That's the Taptosis points out. Very strange. And from this word O, we learn out two dinim, a ribuy and a miut. So here we're learning out prat likelein. Let's say you can't bring a behemoth tmeya as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash, only a behemoth Torah. But let's say the Gemara says in Chorus, a behemoth tmeya and a behemoth Torah can't have a vlad together. They can't give birth together. Different kinds of animals. So let's say you have a hybrid. They have a crossbreed between a goat and a sheep. A goat and a sheep. They're two different. They're both behemadaka. Behemadaka, behemagasa also probably can't conceive one from the other. It's a different. One is a 5 month pregnancy. One is a 9 month pregnancy. So if you have a goat and a sheep have a hybrid and they give birth to a vlad, they're both behemoth Torah, so the vlad is behemoth Torah, you're allowed to eat it, but it's kelayim. So even if it happened by itself, even if nobody violated them, no one violated any Yisr, no one did the hybrid, the animals by themselves did it, which is unusual. So it's kelayim is pasul legabi mizbech. You're not allowed to be makrevit as a korban. You learn that from the word shor okesavoyes, that it's memayit prat likelayim. So Tosfos has a kasha that there's another gemara that this word oh, in this pasuk is a ribuy, not a mit. So good the kasha. So Tosfos works on the kasha. So the first din is shor okesev prat likelayim. Kelayim is pasul. Not a kelayim is pasul. If you magdish it, it never gets a kedusha guf lamizbeach. It's like kada mum kavu lahegdesha. There's a mishnah pcheris in the first parak. Let's say have an animal that has a broken leg is just not going to get better by itself. It has a mum kavua. So then a magdish is a korban. So it only gets a kedushas damim lamizbech. It doesn't get a kedushas guf lamizbech. It doesn't get a kedushas guf lamizbech. But if I was first magdish a behemah tmimo that had no mum, and then a kodam hekdesha lemumo, then it develops a mum kavua. So when I was magdish it got a kedushas guf lamizbech. Then when it develops a mum kavua, so the halacha says you can be paid it. But after doing the pidyon, still also begins of avoda, because the kedusha guf lamizbech, he can never be paid it. It's not. There are two kinds of pinyan. Let's say a person is magdish samavach, basically magdish such a thing. So to means to auction it off to the highest bidder. What's Hegdish going to do with a samara? Someone is magdish a mansion. So what are they going to do with a mansion in New York City in Lawrence? What are they going to do with them? Auction off to the highest bidder and take the money and buy a carbon with it. Take the money. Yusuf Berakabais, whatever he said. He says, I'm magdish the mansion for a carbon oil. So you have to auction off the mansion to the highest bidder, take the money and buy carbon oil. You can probably buy 50 carbonous oil for $1 million. You can buy a lot of carbonous oil. So that gets a Kedusha Zdamim Lamizbech. And if I say I'm magdish the mansion, the Berek Abayis, so they auction it off to the highest bidder, what are they going to use with the mansion in Lawrence? So they'll auction it off to take the money to use it for Berek Abayis. Berek Abayis means to fix up the Beis HaMikdash, to fix up, to paint, to plaster the ceiling, whatever they need in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a Kedushas Berek Abayis and there's a Kedushas Mizbeach. So the Mishnah distinguishes, Mishnah, first Perikim Chorizd, Daf Yudalit, distinguishes. If Kodam Mum Kavu Ala Hegdesha, you can be Magdish anything. You can be Magdish an elephant. You can be Magdish a table. You can be Magdish furniture. You can be Magdish a house. You can be Magdish anything. But if you're Magdish an animal, a Behema Tahora, the Hera Mum Kavu, before you are Magdish it, it only gets a Kedushas Damim Lamizbech. Kedushas Damim Lamizbech lends itself to Pidyon, and after the Pidyon, the whole Kedusha goes off. It's a Pidyon Hamafkiya Kedusha. But if you're Magdish a Behema Tmima that had no Mum, Kodam Hegdesha, Lemumo, first you magdish it lamizbeach and got a kedusha aguf lamizbeach. Then it develops a mum kavua, so it lends itself to pinyon, but that's a pinyon hamatir. It retains, it's not a pinyon hamafkir kedusha. The kedusha aguf lamizbeach will never disappear. Even after you paid it, it still has a kedusha aguf lamizbeach. The Gemara says it's still ois a tmura. After you paid it, you have a carbon that developed a mum kavua and you paid it. So one would have thought, you paid it, so it's yotze l'chul, not yotze l'chul. It retains the status of a Kedusha's carbon. You're allowed to shech the chutz la migdash. You're allowed to shech the chutz la tzara. But it's still also the geese of Avaida, and it's still also tmura, because it still retains the Kedusha. It's a different kind of pinyon. It's a pinyon hamatir. It's matir to shech the chutz la migdash, not a pinyon hamakir Kedusha. The Gemara has a din. When someone is moil behegdash, somebody violates me'ilah. So the Gemara learns out the Mishnayos and Me'ilah learn out from Sukkim that the Hegdash is Yotze L'chulin. So the Gemara says this is only on that when someone is Moel B'Hegdash Nevesh Kisim Amal B'Shgoga B'Kot She Hashem. So Ein Me'ilah L'Shinei V'Shus, when a person is Moel B'Hegdash, the Torah imposes upon him a Chiyuv to pay Kerem V'Chaymish and to bring an Hashem Me'iloi. So the Chiyuv to pay Kerem V'Chaymish is considered as if that functions as the pidyon. Usually pidyon is when asna kesa v'kamla, you give money and you pay to the hegdish. Here the Torah is imposing the chiyuv to pay kerem v'chaymish on the one who did the act of me'ilah, so the chiyuv to pay serves as the pidyon, even though he didn't pay the money yet. The chiyuv is already serves as the pidyon, it's yotze l'chulin. So the Mishnah says, only such hegdeshes are yotze l'chulin which lend themselves to pidyon. Sometimes you have behema klisharis, which don't lend themselves to pinyon, so they don't lend themselves to be yotze l'chulin aydei me'ila. So there's a machlokes satanayim. What if you have a carbon behema that developed a mum kavua, and somebody was moel behegdish b'shegeg? The carbon that has a mum kavua lends itself to pinyon, but it's a different kind of pinyon. That's a pinyon hamatir. It's not a pinyon hamafkir kedusha. So that's a machlokes satanayim. In Me'ilah, in the Mishnayos, whether that's also Yotze L'chulin or not. Maybe it's only Yotze L'chulin if it lends itself to the Pidyon HaMafkiya Kedusha. But if it's only lends itself to the Pidyon HaMatir, like Korbanos Shekodem Hegdesha L'mumo, so it has a Kedusha Aguf L'mizbech, and even after you'll be paid, there'll still be also Begizav Avoida, still be Yotze Tmura, so that's a different kind of Pidyon. So that's a Machloek Zatanayim, whether that's Yotze L'chulin. So again, so this Brisa is learning out a lot of dinim from every phrase in the pasuk. So shorakes veizki volit. So the word is a mere prat lekilai. If you have a sheep and a goat mated together and out of lots, even though it's a behemah Torah, the vlad is behemah Torah. It's buta bachila. It's a half sheep and a half goat. It's pasul lahakrove. And if you magdish it, it's never going to get kedusha guf lamizbech. The maximum it can get, it's going to be kedushas damim lamizbeach, and then you can be paid. Then it's yotze l'chulin legamrei. It's a pinyon hamafkir kedusha. Because it's like kada mum kavua lehegdesh. If it was already klayim before you were even magdash it, before you got off the ground, before you were even magdash it, then it doesn't get a kedusha gufa from his bech. Then it's just shera kesev oay. So it says again oays prat lenidme. Let's say you have a goat and a she goat have a vlad. There's no kilayim, but it's an abnormal formation. Nidme is what's the word in English? Nidme.
Malformed.
That looks like a different animal. There's a, I forgot what the word is in English. Not malformed. It looks like a totally different animal. So that's a quirk. That's a
mutation.
If you had a mutation. So that's a nidme. It's doima to it. It looks like a different animal. Even though the father and the mother are both goats, the vlad looks like an elephant. It looks like something else. Looks like a different kind of an animal. So that's also puzzle. Nidme is like ilayim. It's not chal kedusha aguf lam is be'ech erom. It's like kodem kavu lehekdesh. Then it says ki yivoleid. The shor kesev is ki yivoleid. It's another din. Pratli yotze doifen. Let's say leida means that the rechem pushes out the vlad. The rechem pushes out the vlad. If you have a yotzei doifen, it means they had to cut open, the rechem didn't push it out. They had to make a C-section, so then it's pasul legabi mizbech. It's a kosher animal. It's perfectly healthy, a kosher animal. But it's pasul legabi mizbech, because it says, ki yivol and you have to have leida. We have a din like that. There's a perek yotzei doifen, in maseches nida. So the perek yotzei doifen starts off that if a woman gives birth to a baby, but it was a C-section, it wasn't a normal leida, so there's no din of yimei tuma v'yimei tara. The din is that if a woman gives birth to a baby boy, she's tamea for 7 days, and then she has yimei tohar for 33 days. Even if she has dam, it's not mitame her. If she gives birth to a baby girl, so there are 14 days of yimei tuma, then the 66 days of yimei tohar. So we paskin that yimei tuma v'yimei tara, machlokes hatanoim. We pass game make tuma they may is only ishikizazria viyoldo. Viyoldo means later. If it's a yetzidaifin, so you don't have you made tumi, you don't have you made tara. You don't have pidyonat ben either. That's lochala days, you don't have pidyonat ben. That's not a machlekes. You only have pidyonat ben if it's a normal later.
Yeah.
And the din of mila is the chashab, mila is bishmini. Mila is supposed to be on the 8th day. Whatever the din is, that mila has to be on the 8th day, so it's even the chashabis. So the Gemara has a machlekes hamarayim. What if the woman had a C-section? So she's einima tamei aleda. She doesn't have the dinim in meitum in meitara. And Parshas Tazria starts off, if a woman gave birth to a baby boy, so she's tamei for 7 days, to her for 33 days, and then on the 8th day, you do the bris mila on the baby boy. So there's a machlekes in Masechah Shabbos, in Perekab Lezer de Mila, the beginning of Perekab Lezer de Mila. If it was a C-section and there's no din of yimeitum and meitara, do you still have the requirement that the bris should take place on the 8th day? You shouldn't do it before. And if the 8th day of Shabbos, then it's Dechon Shabbos. How do you say no? If it wasn't Ishika Viyolda, wasn't Viyolda, it was a Yotzei Doifen, that's not called later. Later means that the Rechem pushed it out. Here the doctor took it out. He cut open the side of the woman. He took it out, took out the baby.
What kind of boy after this? Is it considered before or not?
That's a machlokes hatanoim, and the psak is no. If the first baby was a yotzei doifen and the second baby was born, the second baby is a boy born naturally, even though it's the one tana holds, this is the first baby that was peterechem. So yeah, pidyon ben, we don't paskin like that tana. It's a very common mistake in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know why a lot of people make a mistake. They do a pidyon ben on such a baby. In America, I never heard that anybody made such a mistake. But Eretz, so it's a common mistake that a woman has a cesarean baby first, and then the second baby is born naturally, and it's a boy. So that's a machlokes hatanan. We pass from that. There's no pidyon aben. It has to be the very first baby, and it has to be a normal leida. So by whether the mila is derech Shabbos, that's a machlokes in the Gemara. So we go lechum in both directions. So if you have a C-section, you shouldn't do the bris before the 8th day. But if the C-section was done on Shabbos, then the 8th day is next Shabbos. Then the din is that it's not Decha Shabbos. You have to wait till Sunday. Because maybe you could have done the bris last Sunday. Maybe you could have done the bris when the baby was 2 days old. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. Ein ima tamei aleida. If it wasn't a leida, and the whole beginning of the parsha didn't apply, ishikis hasrev, yolda zocher. It wasn't yolda. It was a yotzei doifen. So then, no, you may tum and may tara. So do you still have the din? V'yom hashmini ima b'sar alosa or not? So misafik, we go l'chumre in both directions. Unless it's Yontem Sheni Shal Golias, that's let's say a baby is, there's a C-section a week before Yontif, and on the eighth day happens to be the second day Yontif.
She gives birth the second day.
What?
But she gives birth on Sukkot's second day, and Shmini Atzeres is the other. Sukkot's
Torah. Okay, so if the bris, the eighth day when the bris is supposed to take place, is on Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, so to begin with, that's a machlok. On the second day, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Arichto, so you're not allowed to perform a Mila Shalai Bizmana, only a Mila Bizmana. But on Yom Tov Sheni, that's, so the Mishnah only talks about second day Rosh Hashanah, because in Eretz, the Mishnah was edited in Eretz, so there was no Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. The only Yom Tov Sheni they had in the days of the Mishnayos was in Eretz itself, was Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. But second day Rosh Hashanah is taka different, and it's Yom Arichta. So the second day Rosh Hashanah, for sure, l'chol ha'deis, you're not allowed to perform a milu shalai bizmana. Second day Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, that's machlek, is the Rosh and the Rambam. So the Rambam's opinion is that you may do a milu shloi bizman, you may do yantam shenish al goyis. And the Rosh says no. So our practice is we follow the Rosh. We don't allow a milu shloi bizman on yantam sheni. But if it's a C-section, then it's a sveksveke. Maybe a cesarean delivery. There is a din of yom hashmini. So maybe even if it would be on Shabbos, you would have to do the bris. But that's a suffix. And then maybe even if it would have been Shabbos or the first day Yantav, you wouldn't be allowed to do the bris. But maybe the din is like the Rambam, that even a Milu Shloi Bizman he may do on the second day Yantav. So in that case, the Nuri Biuda is Mekel in such a case. If you have a Svek Sveka, then you can do it. So that's Yotzei Doifen. Yotzei Doifen, if it's a cesarean delivery by Behemoth and by Odom, it's not considered a Leda. Not considered a Leda, and the Mila is not Deicha Shabbos. Rav Henkin had a psak. Rav Henkin, before Rav Moshe came to America, Rav Henkin was the big pesach in New York. So he had a very unusual opinion that was not accepted. That if they injected a chemical into the woman is having a long labor, and they want to induce labor, so they inject the chemical into her blood system to induce the labor. So he felt that since the rechen didn't push out the baby on its own, they induced the labor, so that has a din like Yetzir Daifin. So the Mila is not Decha Shabbos. So that opinion has not been accepted. We do a pigyon aden with an induced labor. That's not a Yetzir Daifin. You induce labor, and then the rechen pushes out the baby with its own koyach. But Yetzir Daifin is not only if they cut the woman over here. Even if the baby came out derech rechem, also if the rechem didn't push it out, let's say sometimes the baby's coming out backwards, upside down, a breech baby, or something got in the way, and you leave the baby the way it is, it's just not going to come out. So then the doctor has to cut a little bit on this side. Then he sticks his hands in and he takes out the baby. If the doctor had to stick his hands in and take out the baby, the rechem didn't push it out by itself. It's also yotzei daifin, even though the baby came out derech rechem. Didn't come out derech ha-doifin. They didn't have to make any. They didn't have to cut on top.
If the Yotzei Dovton and Shabbos, the eighth day is Shabbos, and they do make a bris, do they have to do a tefillah dam afterwards? Is the mitzvah bobi avero?
Probably not. The Minchas Chinuch talks about that. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't like that part of the Minchas Chinuch. He used to love the Minchas Chinuch. He used to say the Minchas Chinuch was a Galatiana, and in the Litvish yeshivas they would never have looked at it because it was a Galatiana. But because Rab Chaim liked the Minchas Chinuch, that's why it was accepted. So he would love the Minchas Chinuch, then he would get to something he didn't like, so he would say, Fort Givan a Galatiana. So this one he didn't like. Minchas Chinuch says if he did a bris on a Mila Shalab Bizman on Shabbos, and when you weren't supposed to, it's a Shabbos and a Mitzvah Babaver, so he didn't like that in a big way. He explained why he didn't think it was correct. No, the Pashto says that it's good. And Chaschina raised a possibility. Maybe you'd have to do a Tavis Nabris on Sunday. Maybe you weren't Yotzei on Shabbos. But the Pashto says that it's not a mitzvah about here. Pashto says that B'dievet would be good. It's Mechal Shabbos, but B'dievet would be good. So Nachamal. So the Bryce is being Memayit. There's certain animals which you're not allowed to be Magdash. And if you're Magdash, you're not allowed to be Makr of them. Kilayim. And Nidme and Yotzei Doifen, you're not allowed to be Magdush. And if you were Magdush, it doesn't get a Kedusha Guf Lamizbech, only gets a Kedusha Zdamim Lamizbech. And if you'll be Poided, it'll be Yotzei Lechulun Legamre. It won't be also Begizav Avodah, it won't be also Tmur. The Pidyon will be a Pidyon Hamavkir Kedusha. Then you learn that also. Shivas yamim tachasimo, prat lemechusas man. If you makar of a korban within the first 8 days, it's the first 7 days, it's possible even midyevit. Mechusas man is possible even midyevit. Then it says shivas yamim tachasimo prat liyosim. If the animal is nebachayosim, so you're not allowed to be makar of it on the mizbech. So the Gemara wants to know, what do you mean a yosim? What do you mean a yosim? The cow gives birth to a calf, and then you makriv the calf on the 8th day, and the mother died on the 5th day. So the mother has to be at Nebuchadnezzar Rachmanis on the yosin. You can't be makriv a calf. How long do you want the mother has to live? And what if you're not makriv the vlad until 2 years from now? So the mother has to be alive in another 2 years. If it's a yosim at the time of hakrav, the Gemara says that's inconceivable. Ha yosim echidomi. What's for a yosim? Is he e lema? If he should say the elided teime, the mother gave birth to a vlad, v'hadamesa, and 2 years later the mother dies, and after the mother's second yartzeit, what you want to be makir of the kif when it's already 4 years old? That's ridiculous. How long do you want the mother to live? Liyodam teche v'tezel. You want the mother to live forever till you makriv the vlad as a korb? That doesn't make any sense. That's unreasonable. When you darshan a pasuk, the Gemara says you have to use seichel, that the drush has to make sense. You can't say that there's a psul of yosim. Ela muzmazog and the mesa v'hadi yilidite. It must be such a yosim. The mother died, and after the mother died, then we took out the uber from the mother. That's called a yosim. He was a yosim from the very outset. Before he was born, he was already a yosim. So the Gemara says that can't be that din. If the mother died, so there never was a leida. So by definition, that's called a yetzer deifim. Yetzer deifim means when the mother is alive, but the rechem of the mother didn't push out. She didn't push it out. See, if the mother's dead, so all the body function stops, so the rechem is not functioning anymore. So you can have a ben pekua, yeah. Ben pekua, but by definition, every ben pekua is called a yetzer deifim. Because I shechted the mother. Shechted the mother, and the mother's dead already. And then the uber comes out later, so that's by definition a yaitzei defin, because the rechem didn't push it out. So again, so the Gemara says, if it means that the mother gave birth to the vlad, and then you makdish the vlad, then the mother died before you actually makrev the vlad, that's unreasonable to darshan like that. How long do you expect the mother to live? Ela muzim zogin, the mother died first, then we took out the uber after the mother died, mechima v'olid. That's not good because those haysta yotzei daifen. The rechem wasn't functioning. If the mother died, the rechem wasn't pushing out anything. So here Tosus just has a comment. This is a famous Tosus. Tosus here the Tosus ela demesa v'hoye hada yelidite. So Tosus quotes there is a Gemara in Nida daf mem dalid, same Gemara in Erchin daf zayin. The Gemara says that. When you have a cow that's pregnant, or you have a woman who's pregnant, and then the uber is living as a parasite, living off of the blood circulation of the mother, and the food, the nutrition, everything for the mother, living off the mother. So if the mother dies, then the Gemara assumes that the fetus will die before the mother. That's how the Gemara says. So Tosfos says, but the Gemara says, over here, it's possible for ket. Here the Gemara says, the mother died first, and then the vlad came out afterwards. The mother can't die first. The Gemara says that never happens like that. If the mother gets weaker, so the uber is going to die first before the mother. How can it be? The Gemara talks about a possibility. The mother died before the uber. It's impossible. So Tosfos answers, is a beferish Gemara. But Medvar Mamun, when do you say that the mother always dies first? When do you say that the uber dies before the mother? That's if the mother died a natural death. She was sick and she died from weakness. So if the mother is holding by the end, the uber is going to die before the mother. But if someone shechts the mother, they shoot the mother, b'day Adam, suddenly the mother was healthy. So the uber was, everything was healthy. And then you kill the mother, you have to hurry up quickly to take out the vlad. But in such a case, there was no weakness in the mother. So the uber can survive the mother. The uber will be able to be alive, even though the mother is dead. That's what Tosfos answers. I will neragloy. That's the last line in the Tosfos. Elad Meisa. The Gemara makes that distinction. It's a beferish Gemara. Years ago, there was a whole experiment that Rav Shlaim Zalman Auerbach requested that they should make an experiment. So they took, they showed your video. They took a cow, and they were detaching the neck from the cow. And every time they cut another vessel, so they hooked it up to a machine. And then you see the clock in the background. So you see the whole shechita. How long did the whole shechita? It wasn't a shechita kshera. They were killing the animal. So you see how long it took from the beginning to the end of the whole killing. The detaching, they took a pregnant cow. They took a pregnant cow, and they kept on cutting a little bit. So if they would have killed the mother, so the uva would have died also. So what they did over here was, every time they cut a little bit, they hooked it up with a blood machine. Until they detached the whole head, it took 45 minutes or something, detached the whole head, and the blood is still pumping, and the animal has no head. The head is detached. And then they let the animal go into another couple of weeks till the full-term pregnancy, and then the calf came out, and was alive. It was a full-term pregnancy. So the shaila was, if you hold that the mother is dead already, so how is it possible that if you detach the head from the mother, how is it possible that the uba should survive later on? We didn't understand what when they showed us this video. This was many years ago, 20 years ago. We didn't understand what they were trying to prove by this, because the Tosfos just says over here the same as the Gemara, that if Nereg, if the mother dies from a weakness, then we assume the Uber is going to die first. But the mother was healthy. They kept on cutting a little bit and hooking up the blood vessel to a machine, and then the blood kept on circulating. Circulating in the mother. So then the uber kept on growing another month and another month until it was full term, and then it gave birth. So it's a different case. You can't prove anything from that. That's what Tosfos says. The uber dies first. That's only if the mother died a natural death. So we didn't understand why Rav Shlomo Zalman asked them even to do that experiment. It is Tzar Balichaim, sure it's Tzar Balichaim, but if it's Letzar Opani Odom, then there's no issue with Tzar Balichaim. So they were making some kind of experiment to prove something. We didn't understand what they were trying to prove. They were trying to prove that there's a Mishnah that says that Hutaz Rosho, if you have an animal that the head was detached, so the animal is considered dead. So the Shaila was, the animal is dead, how can it continue to nourish the Uber? The fetus inside. Why not? If you hooked it up with the animal is dead, but you hooked it up with a machine, so it keeps on nourishing the uber.
You gave him a head, basically, the machine.
Yeah, you gave an artificial head. We didn't understand what they were trying to prove by that.
Well, people have already died.
Hmm?
So, if someone is what we call brain dead, and their body is kept alive by a heart machine or something or other, we're saying the patient is dead at that point?
It's a question, what's the definition of life and death? So the Pashtus, the definition of life and death, every time we learn Gemara, this always comes up. The definition appears in Chumash, in Parashas Mishpatim. It says, Ein lo damim. The Gemara assumes that the blood circulation, I don't know why the world of medicine didn't know about blood circulation, that blood circulation keeps the animal alive. That's what it says in the Chumash. Ki adam hu anefesh. So the blood circulation keeps the animal alive. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Can you be yotzei tefillin on the left arm if the left arm is paralyzed? Are you yotzei tefillin because you can't? The left arm doesn't function. So he says, yes, you can. How does he know? Because his father, we once spoke about, his father insisted on sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and it was freezing. So his father got a stroke because it was freezing, and then he died from that stroke. It took a couple of weeks till his father died. So he had a stroke, his left side was paralyzed, and he says his father was Tamar Chachma, and he still continued to lay tefillin on the left arm. So he knows that's the din because that's what his father did. How did his father know? So he shows a Gemara Mcharis like that, that when you have when a part of the body is paralyzed, the blood is still circulating. When the blood stops circulating, then gangrene sets in, and that organ is going to start to decay and decompose, even though it's attached to the rest of the body, it's going to start to decay. But when the arm is paralyzed, the blood is still circulating. If you cut it, the blood will gush out. So that's a definition of life and death on an organ. If the blood is still circulating and keeping the organ alive, then the organ is alive. And the Pashto says that that's a definition of life and death on the organism, on the whole Balchai, on the whole person, on the whole Behemoth. Kol zman, the blood is still circulating, so then the organism is alive. So the Mishnah says, Hutaz Rosha, if you have a behemoth, and the head was chopped off, or you have a person, the head was chopped off, so the whole circulatory system collapses, even though the person or the animal is going to still be jumping around a little bit, that's going to be a reflex reaction, but basically the person or the animal is dead, because the whole circulatory system collapsed. So the Pashtus is that just because the brain, just because the stem to the brain is dead, so that the brain is one vital organ. There's more than one vital organ. So the Pashtus seems to be, if one vital organ is dead, there's a concept of Eivarim Shanashama Tliya Behem. So if all of the vital organs are dead, means that there's no longer blood circulating to all the vital organs, or maybe Rav of the vital organs are dead, then you declare that the whole organism is dead. But if you only have one vital organ is dead, the brain is dead, you say the organism is still alive, but that's called a Goises. Goises means that Tahalich HaMavis began already, the process of death already set in. So the process of death begins when one vital organ is no longer being furnished with blood circulation. But most of the Poskim do not accept brain death. Most of the Rabbanim do not accept brain death. Rav Shlaim Zalman Auerbach kept on insisting that brain death is not considered dead. And after he passed away, so one of the Rabbanim who delivered a hesped, Rabbi Neuwirth, the one who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, said that was the most aggravating experience that Rav Shlaim Zalman had in his whole life, was when people from America kept on saying that he changed his position about brain death. He said he never changed his position. He said, how can they deny, how can they claim things in my name? I'm still alive. It's not true. He never accepted brain death. Most of the Rabbanim in the world did not accept brain death. Brain death means one vital organ is dead, but the rest of the vital organs are still alive. So that's called a geisus. You can't say that he's considered dead.
Even if those other organs can't function unless they're hooked up to a machine.
Yeah, the mice of the blood is still circulating. The mice of the blood is still circulating to the organs, and the oxygen, the blood is circulating, the oxygen keeping all the organs alive. Yeah.
In this particular case, when the mother starts dying and then she gives birth, in other words, she's very dead and the baby's coming out. So, would that be considered same thing? In other words, would that be considered as the dead, as can't bring it as a korban? Is that also part?
So the Gemara says, if the mother died already, and after the mother's dead already, then the rechem of the mother is not pushing out the vlad, then you have to take out the vlad. That's a yetzer daven. So that we know is puzzle. So we have another drasha from the pasuk that even a yosim is puzzle. So what do you mean a yosim? If it means the vlad is 2 years old and the mother dies, that's a yosim. That is not mistabit to say that you need the mother should be alive 2 years later. So must be zep pirish lemisa, zep pirish lechaim. El pshita, the Gemara says, it means the mother was alive till the end of the mother was alive till the end of the delivery of the baby, and the mother was not alive a second after. So the moment the vlad was born, yotzal avihoilam, he never had a mother. He never had a mother. The mother was alive till the end, because if the mother died in the middle of the delivery, then it's going to be a yotze daifin. So it's possible because of ki yivalet pratli yotze daifin. So what do you need another drasha? Tachasimo pratli yosem. So must be, it's a different case. The mother was alive till the end of the leida, and then the mother died as the vlad was coming. Zepirish lemisav, zepirish lechaim. The mother died at the exact same time. Tosis says, how can it be zepirish lemisav, zepirish lechaim? What is it after? The next Tosis says, how is that possible that you know exactly the same split second? Zeb Pirish Lamisa, Zeb Pirish Lachaim. We had a discussion more than once about Epshel Tzamtzem, Epshel Tzamtzem. How can anybody know exactly? How can it be precisely? So Taisa says, you're right. It means if Yov Eliyahu, if Eliyahu Novi will come and tell us. It's a rare din. Never going to happen. If Eliyahu Novi is going to come and tell us that it was a Zeb Pirish Lamisa, Zeb Pirish Lachaim. It's a din that never comes up. A case that never comes up. That's how Tosis interprets over here. A case never comes up. So the Gemara, so what did Rabbi quote? Said, is that Braisa? The Braisa tells you the dinim, all of the various psulim of karbonis. Kilayim is possible, a carbon, a nidmeh, a mutation is possible, and yetzidayfin is possible, and a yasim is possible. All of our psulim. So what did we prove? What did Rabbi trying to prove over here? He's trying to, we're talking about a different topic over here. We're talking about Misukenes. If you shech the behemoth that's a geises, so you have to have pirkus to demonstrate that the animal was alive. When do you require the pirkus? Is it sufficient if the pirkus was the beginning of the shechita? On the assumption the shechita is going to take 20 minutes. Right? So it doesn't take so long. So is it enough if the pirkus is at the beginning of the shechita? Does it have to be davka in the middle, or does it even have to be at the end? So Rava claims it must be in the end. That's on the bottom. Rava Amar, the last two lines on Lamed Ches Manav. No, pirkus has to be besof hashechita. You have to know for sure that the animal was alive till the end of the shechita. How does he prove it? So he makes a tushta that's very strange over here. Rashi just translates the words. He doesn't explain it well. He says, just like with respect to Leda, definition of Leda is that the rechem of the mother pushes out the blood. If the mother's dead and then the doctor takes it out, or the doctor cuts and he sticks his hands in, he takes out the baby, the rechem didn't push it out, that's not called Leda, that's called Yotzi Daifin. So if the mother dies in the middle of the Leda, so that's also called Yotzi Daifin. It's only called Leda if the mother was alive from the beginning to the end of the Leda. So just like he require that the mother should be alive till the end of the Leda, that it should be called a Leda. So to over here, you require that the animal should be alive. The pirkus has to be besof shechita, because if not pirkus besof shechita, maybe the animal wasn't alive at the end of the shechita. What's a tzushtel? The other Gemara, they all agree the animal has to be alive till the end of the shechita. You can't shech the dead animal. But they're saying if the animal shakes a leg in the beginning of the shechita, it's not going to die within the next 20 minutes. If it shakes a leg, it means it's going to live at least another 20 minutes till you finish the shechita. So what's the whole proof? And furthermore, what's the proof? You're talking about leda. Leda is an activity that the animal does. The animal gives birth. So the animal only gives birth if its rechem pushes out the vlad. So if the mother dies in the middle of the leda, so the mother didn't do the act of leda. So by definition, it's going to be a yetzei daifin. Mother didn't do the leda. But over here, we're not talking about the animal doing an activity. We're talking about we're shechting the animal. So what's a tushtel? The animal has to be alive till the end of the shechita. They're two totally different things. But Rashi doesn't interpret. Rashi just says, you see, from the brisa.
It's like shechita.
Yeah.
It's like mamish.
You see the animal. It's only called
a
shechita. Yeah.
That's what Rashi
is. Yes. Yeah, so how does one prove the other? You see, if the animal would die in the middle of the leida, so it's not called a leida. The animal has to be alive, that it should be called a leida. From the beginning to the end, has to be alive. So too, when you're shechting the animal, so the animal is not doing an activity then. The shechet is doing the activity. And of course the animal has to be alive from the beginning to the end. You can't shech the dead animal, but the other Amoraim said, if it shakes a leg in the beginning or the middle, it's not going to die within the next 15-20 minutes. It's the whole tzushtel is very, very shaky over here. But that's what Rava says, and the Gemara leaves it like that. Shleri Gemara. Very unclear Gemara. Then Omar Rava says, Hilchas Allah Lamaisi Ki Homasnita. We pass like the following brisa. He digs up a Tosefta. Tosefta Perbes and Chulan. What's the tipset? Forget about what it says in the Mishnah. We follow the following brisa. What is in the brisa? Exactly the same thing, word for word, that it says in the Mishnah. The Gemara doesn't understand. What did he discover America? The din is like the following Tosefta. Ki Homasnita. It says that what? Behe Madaka Shepash the Yodavaloi Hechazira. The yod are the front legs. So if it stretched out the leg but it didn't bend it back, so that's a simen misa. The Mishnah says that. Pashti yod v'lechzir, it stretched out psula. It's an avela. That's not called pirkus. But medvar mamurim, when is that only the yod, the front legs? Avol beregel, but the back legs, even a behemadaka, bein pashto v'loi kofufo, whether it stretched out and it didn't bend it back, bein kofufo v'loi pashto, or it bent it in and didn't stretch it out, kshera. That is a simen pirkus. That's a simen chiyus. If it's a back leg, it's good. And by medvar mamurim, when do we say that if it stretched out the front leg, it's a simen misa? It's not a simen chiyus. That's only behemadak. Avol behemagasa, whether the front leg or the back leg, behemiyad behemiregel, behempashta v'loikafa, mekafa l'epashta, whether it's stretched there or it bent it in, kshera, it is a good simen of pirkus. Everything stated in the Mishnah. Everything is in the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to ask, what did he say? Hilchasa kiha masnita, we pass him like the brisa. Then it ends off. Yof, what about shechting a bird? A bird doesn't have so much chiyus to begin with. A bird is enough simen echad because it doesn't have so much chiyus to begin with. So you don't need so much of a pirkus if you have a bird who's a geisus. and you hurry to shecht it, so you don't need it to shake a leg, you don't need such simon. Even if it only flutters its wings a little bit, it shakes it, wags its tail a little bit, it's a pirkus dosiginuk. That's enough. You don't need so much pirkus like you need by behema. By behema you need that it should be mochius. By behema, by yoif is enough. What did Rabbi say? We should pass on like this. Tosefta kulo tininu. Everything stated in the Mishnah, and he quotes the Mishnah. Behema daka shepasht yod olechzi. If it stretched out the front leg, it didn't bend it back. Psula. Why shein elo haitzos on nefesh? It's a sin and the animal is dead. So you see from the Mishnah, only behema daka and only pasht yod of the front legs. If it would be the back legs, even if it stretched it out, it would be a simon pirkus. And if it would have been a behema gasa, would have also been a good simon. So you see the diuk from the Mishnah. So everything that it says in the Tosefta is meduyik from the Mishnah, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Yaden, Regaloi, Daken, Gasoloi, everything stated in the Mishnah, everything is meduyik. So what did he say? The Aloha is like it says in the Tosefta. And for the Gemara, no, Ofit Strichaloi Dolotan. The last line in the Tosefta, that doesn't say in the Mishnah. By Of, you don't need so much of the Pirkus. The Of has less chiz to begin with. So have a little, just wags. It flutters its wings a little bit, there's a shengeno. Okay. Yeah, we don't have this. They don't wait to shech the behemoth still holding by Nila. In the days of the Tanoim, okay, they did like that. We have mass production, we shech birds and behemoths. Nobody waits till it's the holding to the end. There's a Mishnah in Beitza. Mishnah Beitza has that you're permitted to shech on Yontif. They didn't have refrigeration, so it was mutter to shecht on yonta because it was heterach on nefesh. The later poskim say the shagas. I would say b'zmanazeh not allowed to shecht on yonta. You're only allowed to do malacha on yonta if it's a malacha that's normally done samach l'suda. But yes, even if the husband is a shechet, he doesn't shecht the chicken when his wife wants to make chicken for supper. He has chicken in the freezers. He shecht the chickens a long time ago, last year, 2 years ago. The chickens are sitting in the freezer for a long time. It doesn't shecht at samach l'suda. So by us, that we have freezers, we have refrigeration, you're not allowed to shecht at all on yantiv. But b'zman ha-gemara, they didn't have refrigeration, so they used to take a shecht when they were interested in eating fleishiks, they would shecht that day. So that's called heterech al nefesh. You're allowed to shecht on yantiv. So, but you're only allowed to shecht on yantiv intending to eat on yantiv. What are you going to shecht on yantiv? Because you're having a bar mitzvah next week. You're having a shevet brachas next week. So you're going to shecht on yantiv. Everybody goes to work every day, so yontif, they have obs. You're going to shecht all the chickens and all the behemoths and put them in the freezer to eat them next week. So that's not a heterech al nefesh. So the Mishnah says, what if he has a behemoth? It's the end of yontif late in the afternoon, and the behemoth is starting to have gesisa, it's ready to drop dead. In Vayachsha, they must. I say, he has to shecht it first, otherwise it's going to become an avela. So is he allowed to shecht it on yontif or not? So the Mishnah says, if it's b'chdei she'yasu, if there's enough time that he can, theoretically, he can shecht it on yontif, and then he can cut off a little sliver of chicken or meat from the neck and broil it and then eat it. So even if he doesn't eat it, l'maisa, he just shechts it. Theoretically, he could have done it. So that's hoyl. So hoyl is on the level of the raisa. Theoretically, he could have eaten it on yontif, but l'maisa, with hoyl mamish, he doesn't plan to eat it on yontif. So hoyl is mutam in ha-toira. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. If guests would have come, I would have been able to feed it to the guests. I don't expect any guests to come the last 10 minutes in Yant. But if a guest would have come and I shechted it, I would have been able to broil a little piece of flesh, a kazai's flesh, and give it to the guest. So, menateretz muta. So, b'mokum hefsed merube. Mokum hefsed, we go back and we rely on the kul of oil. That's a mission. Can eat it raw, yes. So the Mishnah holds that's a shav. That should look at derech achilasa. That's not normal to eat it. So heterech al nefesh is only if he's going to eat in a normal fashion. Let's say you're going to do a malach on yontif in order to eat food in an abnormal fashion. So that's what the Mishnah implies, that the achilash look at derech achilasa is not called derech al nefesh. So it's only if there's enough time to eat it kederech achilasa. Yeah. Yeah, but we don't. This never comes up. We never shecht them, Mr. Kedis. You have dinim and yeridaya, but it never comes up.
Shechita is totally in Pirkus, then a behema that's holding in the last, it's a gosis. Why should there be a chumra of not eating it? should be just a question of, that's the halacha, I know the halacha, that's it.
Yeah, it's also a little bit of judgment call. It's a judgment call. Did the animal die? Did the animal die in the middle of the shechita? Did it really survive till the end? So Tshuva did it pirkos, but it's everything is very up in the air over here. Three different opinions in the Mishnah. What's called a pirkos. So best is to avoid the whole thing. So that's what the Gemara quotes here. Cheskel Hanavi is pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't ask me to eat this disgusting food. He says, so he says, what it means is, you never ate from a behemah. You never ate from a behemah that they were rushing to shechta because it's holding by the end. That's the same as behemah she'or b'chochem. It's a judgment call. Whenever there's a judgment call, it's a midas chasidus to be machmir. In Shulchan Aruch, they have also, let's say, in Hilchas Nida. So the woman had a shayla in Hilchas Nida. So they had the rov had a kvetch and finally came up with a heter. Why the woman is Materis Labayla. So true, she's Materis Labayla, but as a Midas Chassidus, one should be Machmer. So he says, the husband is a Chassid. The wife is not interested in being a Chassid. Husband is the Vilna Gaon. The wife is not the Madrega of the Vilna Gaon. She wants to have a husband. So it says in the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, that's not right. The husband has no right to prave a Midas Chassidus at the expense of the wife. The wife has a right to go to mikveh today. And the husband is mechuyev leil tefilah, so it's a chiyav oina. He has no right to prav midas chasidus unless the husband and the wife are both interested in observing midas chasidus. But I should observe at the expense of my wife, tarmanish. But if it's not at the expense of someone else, that's a concept of midas chasidus. Someone had a shayla in the yeshiva. His wife had to cut onions. What'd she do? She cooked the onions in a fleshig pot and then she used a melchik spatula, so the shayla from Bas Barolov, then they poured the onions into bowls and they used with spoons, everything in the house. So he asked one of the rabbis in yeshiva who always follows Sfardi Psak. Why did he ask that rabbi? That rabbi, I guess, lives in his building. So his wife asked that rabbi. Then the husband realized, what are they asking that rabbi for? It's all Sfardish Psak. They're not, over here the husband is a Sfardi. But the wife is not a Sfardi. And the husband doesn't go for a Sfardi Psak. He goes for normal, for Ashkenazi Psak. So he was wondering, is he allowed to be Machmer? Is he allowed to be Machmer to insist on kashering everything? That's also Behemesh Ore B'chocham. It's a Machloikas, whether you Machmer on the onions, whether the onions on Bedin of Dolachorif or not. Everything is a Machloikas, and it's a judgment call. So there is room to observe Amidas Chasidus. That's called Behemesh Ore B'chocham. Whenever there's a Machloikas HaPaskin, that's called Behemesh Ore B'chocham. So there is a concept of a Midas Chasidus. The next Mishnah, there's a whole discussion in Yeridei about this. The next Mishnah is a fascinating sugya over here. If a person shechts a Behemel Avodah Zarah, so that's Osabahanoah. Tekruvus Avodah Zarah is Osabahanoah. How do you know? Because the Pasuk says, Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. Tekruvus Avodah Zarah. If one shechts a behema as a gift, as a matana to the Avodah Zarah, so it's also b'hano. So if you pour wine in front of the Avodah Zarah, the wine becomes also b'hano, because the pasuk calls it zivchei mesim, and just like a mes is also b'hano, so too the Rashi has the whole story over here. If you take a look on Lamed Tes Amid Aleph, where it says in Rashi Avodah Zarah daf lamed beis amid beis. And it has in parentheses, Daflam and Beis Amid Beis, about 25 lines from the bottom. So Rashi quotes, Tekruvus Avodah Zarah is referred to Mikri Zivchei Mesim, Vayochel Zivchei Mesim, and a Mes is also Bahano. So that's how you know Tekruvus Avodah Zarah is also Bahano. We assume that it's Minat Torah. Avodah Zarah itself is also Bahano. Let's say the Getchke itself, that someone deifies, a Jew or a non-Jew, worships a statue. Worships, deify something. So that's Asabano. Then the Noye Avodah Zarah, let's say you have a statue and they put on earrings and they put on a necklace and they put on a dress or a suit. So the Noye Avodah Zarah are also Asabano. The Tekruvus Avodah Zarah is Asabano. And the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah are Asabano. Let's say you have an altar that they offer carbon, they burn carbonus on the altar. You have a knife that they use to shecht the carbonus of Avodah Zarah. So that's called Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. So all four of these are Asabano. The Krubis is Asabano, Mishamshe, Noye Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah itself. There are differences between them. Let's say by the Catholics, the Poskim say when the Catholics have their services and they use wine and they use a wafer, so they believe in the transubstantiation. They believe after they recite the hocus pocus, people that make fun of the religion call it hocus pocus because they recite some Latin incantation, Latin prayer that rhymes with hocus pocus. I don't know what the prayer is, but it sounds like hocus pocus. So that's why everyone makes fun of it, because they believe that after they recite the hocus pocus, so the blood turns into the wine turns into the blood of Osa Huish, and the wafer turns into the flesh of Osa Huish. So that's not the krugus. See, if you pour wine in front of a ruzar, that's a matona. So that's the krugus. But if you have the wine and the wafers, and you believe, the Avodah Zarah believe that this turns into the flesh and blood of Osa Huish, that's Avodah Zarah, that's not the Kruvis. Avodah Zarah has Kulis. If it's the Kruvis, it has Chumis. The Kruvis doesn't have Bittl. Let's say a Nochri deifies this kettle, whatever they call it, pitcher. A Nochri deifies, showing this is showing the deity. He bowed down to the deity. Another guy comes up and says, "You're crazy. This is the deity. How can this be? I'm God. How can that be God? I'm God. I'm a shulgin also." But he said he doesn't believe that this is God. So the din is that if you have Avodah Zarah that belongs to a non-Jew, it was worshipped by a non-Jew, it's not Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, it doesn't belong to a Jew, wasn't by a Jew. So Avodah Zarah of a Nachri lends itself to Bitl. If another Nachri will come along and say, "I don't believe that that's Avodah Zarah," it becomes Mutabano. But if you have the Krubis Avodah Zarah, that doesn't change. The Krubis remains also Mahanoli on Avoy. So that's a kula that the Achroinim point out, that by the Catholics they use wine, but they don't pour the wine as a maton in front of the Avodah Zarah. They believe, after they recite their incantation, they believe this wine and wafer turns into the flesh and blood of Yoshke. So that is Avodah Zarah Mamisha. That has a kula. It lends itself to Bittul. Another Nochri will come along and say, "You're off your mind. I'm God. How can that be? I'm Yoshke. How can that be Yoshke? I'm Yoshke." So then it becomes Mutabano.
That'd be another person, not the same person?
The same person is Avadigud. Oh. But even if it's another person who believes in a different Avodah Zarah, if it's the same person as Avadigud, he's doing tshuva. Okay. But even if it's a different person, it has to be a Nochri. It's also good. So the dynastic. Yeah, the Gemara said David HaMelech used to conquer. He waged a lot of battles and he got a lot of precious metals, but all the precious metals were Avodah Zarah. They took all the gold and silver, they made Avodah Zarah out of it. So he wanted to take everything and use it for the Beis HaMikdash, auction off to the highest bidder, and then use the money for the Beis HaMikdash. But if it's all Avodah Zarah, it's all Asa Manos. He had with him Anochri, who didn't believe, Anochri, who was a Ger Toshev, the Gemara said, he didn't believe in all of this Avodah Zarah. So the Nochri would always be Mevatel Avodah Zarah before David HaMelech would pick it up. Once a Jew picks it up, then it's called Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, so then the Bittul doesn't help. So before David HaMelech would gain possession of it, he would get Ite Agite to be Mevatel all the Avodah Zarahs. Yeah. So the Mishnah has a Shiloh here. Ashechid la'ovik kachavim, shchitos ha'kshera. A Nochri asks me to shecht the behemoth for him. So I'm shechting it that it should be kosher meat. The Nochri is going to have a butcher shop. He wants to sell, he's having a party, a Hanukkah party, whatever. He's having end of the season party. He wants to have kosher meat to serve it to his Jewish workers. So I'm shechting the flesh and I'm going to watch everything is kosher. So the first Tana says, Shchitosik Shere. Rebbeleza says, no, it's Oseh Ba'anoa. Why is it Oseh Ba'anoa? So he was going to explain, even though the one who's shechting is the Jew is shechting the behemoth. He does not machshav the shem of Avodah Zarah, but we assume that the nochrim asofrum, whenever anyone slaughters and whenever they shecht an animal, or whenever anybody slaughters an animal for them, stam machshav is goy Avodah Zarah, asofrum a goy. He has in mind whenever anyone shechts a behemah on his behalf, that he is the owner of the behemah, hoter in zin l'shem should be a tikruvis Avodah Zarah. So Blazer says that it's osa bahanom. Not only if he owns the whole animal, Amar Rav Lezer, not only if he owns the whole animal, and I shechted him, afilu shochta lecha lov kechav mechatzit kovet shelo, also psula. Even if the guy only owns the chatzit kovet, is the diaphragm. If an animal doesn't have a diaphragm, the diaphragm separates between the chest cavity where the lungs are and the stomach on the bottom. So if you have an animal that doesn't have a diaphragm, it's going to die. That's a vital organ or something. It's going to be also a trefa. let's say, if the guy owns a kazayis of flesh in the animal, that if you would cut out that kazayis of flesh, the animal would live on. It would be a little schwach and cut out a steak from a live animal. It's not going to be as healthy as it was otherwise, but it's not going to die. So if it would appear from the Mishnah that if the guy owns a section of the animal that's not so crucial to the life of the animal, and he has in mind the shame to krubis of it, it does make it osabano. But if the guy owns a chatzikovit shalom, he doesn't own the whole animal. He only owns the diaphragm, that's vital for the life of the animal. That's also, it makes it osabano. What does the Tanakama hold that it's not osabano? What's the machloikis? So the Gemara explains, hanetanoi, right away in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hani Tanoi, the Tanakama with Reb Lezer, they both hold the same thing. Islu the Reb Lezer b'Reb Yosi, the Tanya, the following verse, Om Reb Lezer b'Reb Yosi, Shamaiti, I have a tradition from earlier Tanoim, Shabailim Efaglim. That's a different thing in Korbanis. What does Pigel mean? When the Kohen does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, there are Dalar Avodahs, the Dalar Avodahs Adam, the Shchita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika. Those are the Dalar Avodahs Adam that are Mikil Ma'akev. Haktoris Emurim is not Miakev. If the Emurim become Nitmo, Shenevdu, the Haktoris Emurim is not Miakev. But the four Avodas Adam, Shchita, Kabbalah Sadam, Halacha Sadam, Zvika Sadam, the Dalar Avodas Sadam on Miakev. So the Chumash has, the Mishnah has had based on Psukim Chumash. If someone does either the Shchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zvika, they do one of the Dalar Avodas intending to eat the flesh, Chutz Lizmanan. So it makes it Pigul. Makes it Pigul, it's an Issa Koris. If you intend to eat it, chutz l'mekayma, he said, that's not real pigul, that's puzzle, but there's no karet. But if you intend to eat it, to resurrect the dam, chutz l'zmanoi, then it's pigul v'yesh b'karet. Rashi said, that's the real mekoy, that's the real pigul. The other one is called, we call it pigul, it's a nickname. It's not really pigul, it's puzzle. Pigul is chutz l'zmanoi. So this Taner, Ablezer, Rabbi Yossi, Shomati, have a tradition, he lived after the Churban Abayis. It has a tradition from the Tanoim who lived Bizman Abayis, Shabbailim Efaglim, the Bala Korban brings the Korban to the Kohen, and the Kohen does Shchit Kabbalah Aloch Hazvika. The Bala Korban has in mind to eat it next week. But the Kohen is doing the Avodah, didn't have that in mind. So that's a Chiddush, we don't pass like him. He has a tradition, Shabbailim Efaglim, the Bala Korban, if he has Kabbalah while the Kohen is doing the Shchit Kabbalah Aloch Hazvika, he can pass on it. So he says, Hani Tana, Igmar says, the first two Tanoim, the Chachamim and Reb Lezer, they both agree with Reb Lezer and Reb Yosi. Shabbatim Efaglim. Mihu Tanakama Sovar. Tanakama says, if you say here, that's in the Beis Hamikdash. Shabbatim Efaglim. Here we're talking Lavod Zarah, not in the Beis Hamikdash. We're not talking about Korban. It's talking person shechts an animal and he has in mind L'shem Avod Zarah. So if the Shechet has in mind L'shem Avod Zarah, say he makes it to Krubis. What if the owner of the animal has in mind L'shem Avod Zarah? So the Gemara is assuming Ishamini Dechashiv Tankamasov, Tankama thinks Ishamini Dechashiv, if he heard from the Bailam that he has in mind the Goisha owner, he has in mind this should be L'shem Avodah Zarah in, then the Tanakama will agree that it's Asabano, it's the Krubis. Eloi. But if we didn't hear that the Goy had the owner of the Chatzakovit, the owner of the Behema, if you didn't hear him say explicitly that he has mind the shame of the Zara, it does not become Asabano. Why? Because Tamach Shev is of Kacham, Lavad is Kacham, Le'amin. We don't think that every guy in the world is so frum that whenever anyone shechting a behemoth for them, they certainly have a mind the shame. Again, they're not so frum. If he's a Galach, maybe. But we're not talking about Galach, talking about regular guy. So Tamach Shev is of Kacham is not Lavad is Kacham. Rab Lezer disagrees. Rab Lezer is sober in the Mishnah. Even if he didn't hear the guy say that he has in mind the Pharisee Shem of Izar, he holds all the guy myself from Stamach Shabbos of Gacham Lavaris Gacham Amrina. You do assume that every guy has in mind, they both agree that Bailam Efaglim, just like by Karbonis, the Bailam can make Pigul, the Machshava of the owner can Michal on the Karbon to make it Pigul. So we learn at Chutz Bepnim, if the owner of the Behema has in mind the Shem Tikrubis, he'll make it also Bahano. But the machlokes hatanoim is, do you have to assume that every stam avir avodah zarah has so frum that he always has in mind the shame of avodah zarah? That's the machlokes. V'asa Rabbi Yosi lemeima, then the third line in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi disagrees, says the whole thing is not true. Rabbi Yosi disagrees, afagab d'shamina d'chashiv. Even though you heard that the owner of the behemoth, who's the goy, says explicitly, you shech the behemoth me and I have the mind the shame to krubis avodah zarah. So Rabbi Yosi disagrees. Even though we heard explicitly the Goyish owner says doesn't make it osman. The machshava of the bailim doesn't make it into the krubis. That's the first version the Gemara has. Then the Gemara is going to continue. It's going to be a whole interesting sugya. Okay, so we'll stop here. The korban is offered on his behalf. He's not a kohen, so he can't do the hakrova. But since he's the bala korban, so this tana holds. We don't pass like this. This tana holds bala mefagun. If the bala korban has in mind while the kohen is doing the shechita kabbalah halacha zrika, the shame to be eat the flesh after this man, or to the makta the imurim after this man.
During the actual avoda, he's thinking that particular avoda should is almanas that'll be in the
right. So that tana holds. We don't pass like him. The bala mefagun. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a sefer. He has two svarim. But he has a kasha. One sefer he has 70 terutzim on one kasha. One sefer he has 80 terutzim on a kasha. One sefer is called Shivim Parim La Torah. 70 terutzim on one kasha. Each teretz is a whole new story. The other sefer is called Gvurish Meinim. He has 80 terutzim on one kasha. So one of the two svarim, I forgot which one, he has a kasha on this din. We pass him by the manat mefagim. See, as a kasha, when the husband is choshed that his wife is having an affair with someone else, so he has to bring her to the Beis HaMikdash. We learned Gemara Soita. You have to bring her to the Beis HaMikdash. So the miracle of the Maim Hamarim, b'derech hateva, she shouldn't die. There's no poison in the Maim Hamarim. It tastes bitter, but it's not poisonous at all. The whole thing is a miracle. Torah promises the miracle. The miracle is only going to work. The miracle is only going to take place if they brought the mincha, and the mincha was kasha. But who's the bala korban? The mincha is often on her behalf. So she doesn't want to die, so she'll have in mind pigle. She'll have in mind that they should, when they're doing the kmitza, she'll have in mind that the kohanim should eat the shiari hamincha next week. You can only eat it today, so she can foul up the whole korban mincha. If you hold baila mefaglim, so the woman whose husband is choshed her, she's the bala korban. So she'll have in mind to foul up the korban, and the miracle won't happen. So she's not going to die. So someone's going to tell the woman, just have in mind that the kohanim should eat the shiari hamincha after this man, and the whole miracle won't happen. So she'll come out safe. So how can it be? That's impossible. So he has either 70 or 80 terutzim and akash. We don't pass him by the mefagim, so all kasha doesn't get off the ground. But according to that tana, that's when he has akash.
Doesn't the husband own the flour? He's the one that bought it.
Yeah, but I think he's the one who pays for it, but I think we consider her the balas ha-korban. The korban is often on her behalf. I think so. I think we consider her the balas ha-korban.
That's the miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
She can't foul it up.
Why not? That's the kasha al-pidin. Why can't she foul? She can foul up the whole korban. Then if the korban mincha wasn't brought, so the whole miracle was never promised. So she'll always be off the hook. And today said where the Torah describes the first nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu got. He was tending to the sheep, and he sees a burning bush. A malach appears to him, balabasech b'ter chasne. He says he sees a fire, and it's not consumed. And then it will call. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says, I want you to be mashliach, to go to Paro, to see to it that you should feed b'nei Yisrael. So the Medrash says that for 7 days, there was an argument between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Baruch Shalom. Every day he came up with another taina why he doesn't want to go. Till finally the Baruch Shalom said, Shon Gidu, stop packing our chanik. I want you to go. Hey, Rosh Shah, I give you a nevuah, you have to go. So he had different tainas. Every day, noch a taina. So one of the tainas was an interesting one. Shlachno biyat tishloch. It's Asogas Gula, my brother Aaron. My brother was a Navi for a long time. His brother was a few years older than him. Aaron was a few years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. He was already a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu just became a Navi now when the Malach talks to him from the burning bush. So he says it's Anisa Hasagas Gula. So the quote B'Shem Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that you see from here that even if you're talking about Gulas Yisrael, Gulas Yisrael is Dach Bikuach Nefesh. Bikuach Nefesh is Dech HaKol HaTor Kula. No, but Gulas Yisrael, it is Bikuach Nefesh because they were killing all the babies. They were throwing the babies into the Nile. They were killing all the baby boys. Still, the gula has to be boys gehalten al pi alocha. If there really is an iser of hasogas gul, so the Baruch Shalom wouldn't do the gula in such a way. But that's where Rab Chaim pointed out that in Europe, Rab Chaim died, I think, after the First World War. for the people who thought that the First World War was the Mechemes Gog and Magog, and they thought that this is Mashiach is going to come. Mechemes Gog and Magog is going to be around Yerushalayim, it says, not going to be in Europe. The First World War had nothing to do with Yerushalayim. And it's the whole, the Umasoil are fighting against the Jewish people. It's not the Nochem against Nochem. It had nothing to do with Mechemes Gog and Magog. But that's what people thought. So people thought that this, we can cut corners over here and somehow pressure the Rebbeinu Shlom to bring Mashiach. Rav Chaim said the coming of the Gula is going to have to be Alpi Halacha. We're not going to cut any corners and we're not going to violate anything. Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody wants the Gula to come as soon as possible. But if there would be an Issa HaSagas Gula, so the Rebbeinu Shlom wouldn't do the Gula like that. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, don't worry about HaSagas Gula. Your brother will be thrilled. Viracha v'samach b'libah, he'll be very happy. HaSagas Gula is only the other fellow's makbid. He doesn't want me to take away his business. Aaron HaKohen would be thrilled that he should take away the business. Let him be the girl. But you see that the gula has to be al pi halacha. I don't think I read it yet. Yeah, was he's crazy about the Clintons.
He got the Jewish, he got the Jewish world up in arms. He got the Jewish world up in arms.
It was like a hesped.